So for those of you who are taking the course for credit, I have assignments to write for next week. It's relatively easy. Just to repeat what we're going to learn today. And for those of you who did not receive the first outline, I have it. I don't know if some of you did not get that one. Okay. All right, so it's a good thing about continuing the course one day after the other. Remember where we are. At least I remember. And so we were in the chapter one, this water wave problem, and if you remember the outline of yesterday, we were at the last section. I must tell you, I was never as organized as I am today for sections and everything, but I will try to keep it as it is now. So we had a number of sections, and the last section was linearization. Near a flat surface. Okay, so here we are, this number four, and to do this, yes? It is number five. Thank you. And to do this, I will have to write the the water wave problem again, linearization near a flat interface. So let me write the system we have obtained yesterday. So we had C, the velocity potential, the harmonic function in the domain D of t, which was x, y in R2, z between minus h and eta, d phi dn equals 0 at z equals minus h, and the two conditions on the free surface, so eta p plus phi x eta x plus phi y eta y, phi y eta y, minus phi z equals 0. So you have these two conditions, and here we have phi x square plus phi y square, phi z square, phi z square, plus g eta equals 0, and this has to be taken at the interface. All right. Okay, so if we look, we immediately see that this is minus h, this is eta, this is z equal eta x, y, t. So again, it's a curve in two dimensions, but it's a surface in three. And you see immediately that if I take the very simple solution u equals 0, so velocity equals no velocity, the fluid is doesn't move, which means phi equals 0. And at the same time, I take eta equals 0. So it means that this is a geometry. This is z equals 0. This is z equals minus h. So body of fluid that fills a bend, a strip. this is a trivial solution. It is a solution and it is a trivial solution. And as always, when you have a solution, the first thing you do to understand what is happening is to try to understand the linearization near this solution. So this is what we will do. So this is a classical calculation. And we're going to look for solution phi, which is, well, 0 plus phi tilde, and eta, which will be 0 plus eta tilde. This quantity will be supposed to be small. Okay? So it means that any time I have a nonlinear term, I drop the product. And just for simplicity, I will drop this, this tilde. We don't need them. And so let me write the equations. Well, the first equation, well, it remains Laplacian phi equals 0. It's a linear equation. And we will consider it in the strip x, y in R2 and z between minus h and 0. Second equation is the same as before, d phi dz equals 0 at z equals minus h. And now here, well, I will keep the linear term, so eta t minus phi z and phi t plus z. So eta t minus phi z equals 0. And and at first approximation, we take this at z equals 0, at z equals 0. Okay, so now we're going to solve this. The first thing is to solve the Laplace equation. And we do this by separation of variables. So you look for a function of z, multiply a function of x, y, multiply a function of x and y, and t, function of, so four functions. And we're going to do in Fourier space. So if it is in the whole space, you take Fourier transform. It is, if it is in a periodic box, if let's say if it is a periodic box, you take Fourier mode, and then you add the Fourier mode. So just for simplicity, I will do the Fourier mode with periodic geometry, but it's exactly the same. If you have a full space, just take Fourier transform. Okay? So I'm going to look for solution in the form eta of x, y, z, t will be a function of a function of z. Well, multiply, I'm going to look for x, y in terms of Fourier mode. So k1 x plus k2 y. And a function of t. And because we're dealing with waves and we know the answer, I'm already going to put minus omega t. For those who are not completely convinced that it is a form, you just solve it exactly. But this is what we look at. Okay? But this plus its complex conjugate. We're dealing with real functions, so I have to add the complex conjugate. Right? So this is the solution of the form I'm looking for. And eta of x, y, t will be a constant that I have to determine. exponential I. And since we have a linear problem, it has to be of the same form. Kx plus k2y minus omega t. And then if you want the general solution, you add up these different modes in x. All right. So you substitute, and for the first equation, Laplacian phi equals 0, the equation is czz minus k squared phi equals 0. Okay. K squared means k1 squared plus k2 squared. And you solve this with the boundary condition czz of minus h equals 0. And the solution phi of z, well, it's a combination of exponential plus kz and minus kz. When you put this boundary condition, you find the cosh, hyperbolic cosine, and you want the hyperbolic cosine to vanish at minus h, so the form is z plus h. Right? Multiplied by a constant. And I'm going to normalize the constant phi of 0. This is a free constant. Right? So we have a constant which is free constant. And to ensure that phi of 0 is phi of 0, the same, I'm going to divide here. Okay. Right? So this is phi. Sorry? Cosh, thank you. All right, so we have the form of phi, it's not finished. We have to find eta, to find a. So we replace in this equation, or let's replace it here. You replace in here, you get eta equals minus phi t over g, which gives you I omega over g I omega over g phi of 0 cosh and you have to take this at z equals 0. At z equals 0. You have to take it at z equals 0. Let me rewrite this again. So eta is minus phi t divided by g at z equals 0. So phi t, let's go back here, phi t, derivative with respect to t of this expression where capital phi was given by that, right? All together. And so here we have I omega over g, phi of 0, right? I omega comes here, minus sign is compensated here, and phi of 0, exponential I, the same thing, k1 x1 plus k2 y minus omega t. Plus the complex conjugate. Yes? So I have written complex conjugate as the little star. This means complex conjugate. Right, so this is eta, and of course you have to check the compatibility with this equation. So substitute this into the equation, and what do you substitute in 4, and what do you get? Well, you will get that I omega over g phi of 0 equals I'm correcting you. So this is eta. I differentiate with respect to t. Do I have minus omega omega equals phi z. So phi z, I have to differentiate this phi, and so let me write what it is, phi of 0 cos eta k. I differentiate phi, so I get a sinh. And then I take it at z equals 0. Right? So what do we see here? We see that omega and k must satisfy a relation. Omega, yes? Oh, thank you. Yes, I need the k. Like that. And when you see that omega and k must satisfy a relation, which is omega square equal g, okay, tanh hk. Yes. This k1 k2. Well, because you know it's a linear system, so you you have to decompose eta in Fourier modes as a sum. You decompose eta. You can see eta as a sum of a function of a I of t exponential I k 1 x I k 2 x y. So you and the same for phi. Well, phi, that you have another variable z, but since it is linear, you can deal with each mode in a separate way, and then you add up. Mm-hmm. So by linearity, it is enough to see it like this. And this is a very celebrated formula, which is called the dispersion relation. So if you want to find solution of this time, yes, you have them. They are here. But omega and k cannot be chosen in an independent form, in a independent way. They must satisfy this relation. Okay? So this is the terminology of dispersive relation. And so let me make a small remark. In two dimensions, you don't have y. So this relation becomes omega square. K is a scalar. Here K is K1, K2. K is a vector. In two dimensions, K is a scalar. And this reduces to GK. Since you have an absolute value here and an absolute value there, it's a product, they compensate. So in two dimensions, the relation becomes like that. So here K is K1, K2, and here K is just K. Okay. And then there is some terminology that is important to know, because you hear these words all the time. When you talk about dispersive waves, so first of all, here we're talking about waves. These are sinusoidal waves. When you hear the word dispersive wave, it means that the derivative of omega respect to k is different from zero. It's different from zero. From constant. I always make a mistake. So it means that omega as a function of k is not a linear is not a linear function of k. In other words, different modes propagate at different velocities. The wave disperses. All right, so different case lead to different O. Different omega prime. All right, so this is the terminology, and another word that you may hear often is phase velocity. So what is phase velocity? Phase velocity means this is a quantity, omega over k. Okay, so if you look here, phase velocity is omega divided by absolute value. So dispersive means that the phase velocity is not constant. I'm a bit confused with the constant and zero. Is it zero or constant? It is omega prime different from zero. From, I don't want omega, yeah, constant. I don't want omega equals ck. Right. Different from constant. Thank you. Phase velocity, so the phase velocity should not be constant. Phase velocity should not be constant for dispersive waves. All right. And immediately I'm giving you two examples of dispersive or non-dispersive waves. So take the KdV equation. Take the KdV equation. And linearize near u equals 0, which means you look for solution x of t exponential I kx minus omega t plus complex conjugate. If you plug this formula into the KdV, the linear KdV, the area equation, plug into you replace in here, and you see that omega and k are related by omega of k equal k3. So these are dispersive waves. If you take the wave equation, utt minus uxx equals 0, and you look for solution u of xt in the form of, again, sinusoidal waves, complex conjugate, you obtain that omega square of k equals k square. So omega equal plus or minus k, which are non-dispersive waves. This is indeed a hyperbolic equation. Okay? And one more thing I would like to look with you in the context of dispersion relation. I would like to see how these two dispersive relations rewrite in two important limits. One is shallow water and the other one is deep water. Okay. So two important limits that we'll discuss in detail a little bit later. Two important limits. One is shallow water. We'll do it more in detail later. Here I just want to do it at the linear level through the dispersion relation. I'm just looking at the dispersion relation. Well, shallow water means HK. Let me do it in 2D dimension, just for simplicity. In 2D. So it means that H is very small. But in fact, in this analysis, what is important is not really H, but HK. But, so if HK is very small, I'm doing it a very brutal way. Omega square becomes G. So if HK is very small, the torsion is well approximated by HK. So it becomes GH K square. Okay, so omega equal plus or minus square root of GH K. Omega of K. They are non-dispersive waves. Right, and later today we will do the shallow water approximation from the original water wave problem, taking into account all the non-linear terms, and we will see that the resulting system is indeed a non-dispersive system. So it's a hyperbolic system. It's a wave system of waves. Okay. And second, the other limit is deep water. So if you look at the situation in deep water, it's HK, the other limit. Much larger than 1, then tanche is 1, essentially, and omega squared becomes gk. And that is passive waves. All right. So this is the remark that this is an important word that you will hear often, and it indeed refers to the linearized system and the relation between omega and k. Okay, so here we are done with these general remarks about water wave problem, and I would like to move to these asymptotic limits. So I will keep my good habits. We move to chapter 2, if you don't have questions for chapter 1. And in my, I will just give you the overview so you know where we are. So I would like to end classical asymptotic limits. So the first section is very elementary, but it's to just to rewrite the water wave system in adimensional coordinate form. We need to take some asymptotic limits, so we have to define some parameters that will be non-dimensional. Section 2 will deal with shallow water. So of course, at the very linear level, we cover this. But I want to do the full shallow water limit, and to write down a system of equation that in this limit could be considered as a good approximation of the original problem. Three, I would like to go to the asymptotic situation where we have long waves, small amplitude. Long waves, small amplitude, and this is traditionally characterized as the Boussinesq or KdV limit, and it will lead to what is called Boussinesq equations. And under some hypothesis, to the Korteweg-de Vries equation. So I have to tell you that I will do all this. Well, there will be two sections because let's hope. So I will do all that for the for the problem in two dimensions. Just because the writing is just a bit easier, right? And as a problem set, I have suggested to you to do it in three dimensions. Quite similar, just a little bit heavier. But the techniques are exactly the same, except maybe at the level of the KdV in 3D, there is a little bit of choice to make. All right, so this is a program. Now let me tell you that for those who attended the lecture of Walter Craig last week at last Wednesday, he gave a very elegant derivation of Boussinesq and KdV equation from the water wave problem in the context of Hamiltonian systems. Here I will do it very simply, just Taylor expansion. You don't need to know anything about Hamiltonian system. Of course, the other one is more elegant because it uses a structure. What I will present is rather elementary, and it's probably the way they did it in the 19th century. But it will be good enough for us at this moment. So I need the water wave problem. I will keep the first blackboard. And that we'll replace it by the same one in adimensional form. Everybody is comfortable with what we're going to do. Okay, so this first section deals with the scaling . So let me introduce three characteristic lengths. The natural length of the problem, you have H will be denote the depth, L will be the wavelength in the XY direction, and A the amplitude. So depth, wavelength and amplitude. There are three dimensions that are important in the problem. And in fact, since we have three, we don't really need three. We need only two, because we need their ratio. So one parameter will be denoting A over H. Okay, the relative amplitude of the wave compared to the depth. And the other will be denoted delta, the relative depth compared to the horizontal wavelength. All right, this will be our two parameters. From these two non-dimensional parameters, I'm going to rescale x, y, z. Eta, as a consequence, t, because I want to eliminate the g, I want to eliminate g, and phi also I will have to. So x will be lx, ly will be, and I would like to move also the bottom to z equals 0. Okay, from minus h, I'm going to move it up to 0. All right. So this will be h z plus 1. Well, eta, as a consequence, first I have to translate it to of length h, and then I want to measure eta in terms of the amplitude. So this new eta will be 1 plus alpha h. And this is the Greek letter, right? This is the big letter corresponding to eta, not an h. All right. T is L. So what is T? You can see here, L divided by square root of dh, capital T. Oh, I put minus, right? Z equals 0. Wait a minute, what do I want to do? When Z equals 0, it's minus h. Thank you. Phi, and what is phi? Well, phi will be scaled as GAL divided by square root of GH, phi. Okay, so the big letters are the new coordinates. And in this setting, in this setting, the system becomes delta square phixx plus phiyy. So I write it in three dimensions, so you have it for the assignment. In a minute, I will drop the dependence in y. So here, xy in R2, and Z 0 H. This is at Z equals 0. And now the two equation on the boundary up there, HT plus alpha phi x plus phi y h1. Big letters are a bit awkward, but we'll keep them for this chapter, then we'll go back to the usual letters. And the other equation, so I'm not going to the calculation in front of you. Everybody can do this. And all this happens at z equal 1 plus alpha h of x, y, t. Okay? So this is the system that we will be our starting point for each of the sections that I have mentioned. Okay? So in this system, we will, the first limit will be shallow water. Shallow water will be characterized by delta. Remember, delta is the ratio h over l. Delta will be very small, so we'll do asymptotic expansion, Taylor expansion in delta. And at the same time, alpha will remain of order 1. We will not suppose anything on the length, the relative amplitude and amplitude. Okay? And the other limit that we will consider, which is long wave, small amplitude, it will be delta small, alpha small. But what characterizes these asymptotic limits, referred at Businesco KdV equation, is that the fact that these two parameters are small, but they have a relation. Delta square is equal to alpha. So they are both small, but they satisfy this relation. And later we will call that epsilon. Okay, so this is the two limits we will consider. Okay, so let me start with the shallow water. Will be shallow water limit. And again, I'm going to consider the two-dimensional problem. So you drop the y variable, right? And you keep. So we will not deal with that, but this will be away. What? So we will suppose that delta is small. Shallow water limit delta. Okay, so we look at the first equation, delta square Cxx plus Czz equals 0. So what does this tell us? It tells us that the function phi varies in the z direction much slower than in the x direction. Right? Phi changes in z direction much slower than in x direction. Thus, we will do an expansion near z equals 0. We'll do an expansion near z equals 0. It's a shallow water limit. So x, z, Taylor expansion. So we will start with f of x, t plus z, f, z, phi z of x t plus z square, and we will need I need to put 0. We will need to go up to the fourth order. Not necessarily now for the shallow water limit, but later for KD, so I don't have to rewrite it twice. So I write a number of terms. Some will not be useful immediately, but then we can use this formula later. Okay, and I write the last term of, I think we need that one, x 0 t, right, plus, etc. And now we look at these different terms. So what can you say about this one? What can we say about the derivative of phi at z equals 0? Z equals 0, I remind you, it's the bottom, right? 0. And what can we say about this one? Well, this one is the second derivative of z respect to z of phi at z equals 0. So if I write the Laplace equation up to the boundary, up to its limit, I can replace this by delta square phi xx when I need it. Let's start to write the different terms. This is a function of x and t minus z square over 2 delta square . So I'm going to replace this by minus delta square phi xx at z equals 0. Right? So at z equals 0, at lowest order, I can replace here, or I don't know if I should do it immediately, but later we'll do that. Well, I don't need to do it immediately, so I leave it for the moment. Okay. So now what about the third derivative? What do you think about the third derivative? The third derivative at z equals 0. So what do we do that one? Okay. Third derivative. So what can we say about this, about third derivative of nz? It's minus delta square phi xx z, right? Which is minus delta square phi z xx. And then you have to take this at z equals 0. So this is 0. Because I'm taking this at z equals 0, the first the boundary condition. Boundary condition, phi z equals 0 for all x. Right? And finally, this one, well, this one, it will be delta 4 phi xxx. Right? And it will have to be written at x0. So I will complete here the formula. Now, don't recall whether we need that term or not, but let's see. All right, so this will be a sorry, where are we? Here, four derivatives. Is it correct? I'm using this four derivatives, okay? When I differentiate. I change it twice, right? All right, so this is what we okay, and now, as I said just minutes ago, this is exactly phi fxx right, plus a correction that I, if I need, I will write. Okay, plus a correction that we may need to write. All right, so this is the first equation. Now we have to implement this Taylor expansion into the two others, ht and h. All right, so. So how do we write that? Ht plus alpha phi x, phi x hx. So how do I replace that? Phi x. I'm going to replace phi x. Phi x. So I write hx. And I'm going to replace phi x. So what is phi x? Well, I come here, I differentiate with respect to x, right? So I differentiate this line with respect to x, which gives me fx minus z square. So what is z? Z is the interface. So it's 1 plus alpha h. 1 plus alpha h square divided by 2, have a delta square, phi xx. Which is f xx. Right? So everybody is with me. I am dealing with this term, hx fx. Hx. Alright, so this is, I will not go further because I need only the first term, this is already delta square, minus 1 over delta square, so phi z. Well, phi z, you are here and you differentiate with respect to z. And when you differentiate with respect to z, what do we have? This term gives 0. The first term is gives z, all right, multiplied by delta square. Z is 1 plus alpha h. So what's the sign is minus. Okay. Delta square. And that will be it for the moment. Yes, I'm got something. Where are you? This one? This is phi x, right? Phi x. So I differentiate with respect to x. Yes, you are right. Phi derivative. Thank you. Is that correct? Yes. So this one, I can rewrite it ht plus alpha hx fx. I order the terms. So alpha is 1, is order 1, delta is small. So the only term that of importance here with a plus right. I'm sorry, I'm just confused suddenly. F right, we agree with this. And this equation can be rewritten in the form ht. 1 plus alpha h f x x. Thank you. Where? Wait, 1 plus alpha h, thank you. H. Thank you. Okay, so this is the first equation that we have. So let's do the second equation, and we're going to comment about all these things. So the second equation, ht plus phi t, etc. So let's substitute into this equation phi written as its Taylor expansion in z. What do we have? H plus phi t. So phi t first term gives f. Plus so phi t plus terms of delta square, right? I rewrite only the principal terms. So phi t plus 1/2. You see it's quite simple. 1/2 fx square, phi x square, sorry. So phi x square, again, you differentiate here with respect to x. Get the first term. Yeah, we rewrote much too much terms, but it's important for KDV. So we'll use this formula later. That's it. This is finished. This is the second equation. So the resulting system, and then we have to try to analyze what it means. I'm going to rewrite it. It's ST. I missed some terms? The phi z term, yes. I forgot that term. Where is it? Phi z term. So phi z, you differentiate with respect to z. So you have a z so what do you have? The z, which is a minus. this equation correct? Well, CT. But you know it's not correct, this equation. What is it? 1/2. Mistaken. Phi z square. Thank you. Right? We're dealing with the fourth equation on the blackboard. Phi t is here. Gh is essentially that one. And the other terms are the gradient square. Right? Thank you. Why 4? Dimension is z square down there, delta square. Yes, everything is fine. I think it's correct. You can check this formula if I made a mistake. Okay, but I think it's good. But it's a z square. Thank you. This is important because I don't want to. I did not have a term here. I did not want a term there. So you agree that if you put a square here, you differentiate respect to z. So you have a z delta square. When you take the square, it's delta 4. So the resulting remand there is this. Thank you. Sorry for this. And then I'm going to rewrite the system. Okay. And sometimes people like to introduce new coordinates, 1 plus alpha h, which is called v. If I called v, it will be in a form that may be familiar to some of you. Fx, well, you remember, f is essentially the velocity potential. Right? So f is velocity potential. Fx is like a velocity. So I'm going back to the velocity formulation. And in these new variables, the system becomes Vt plus alpha uvx equals 0. And I hope I'm correct here. Ut plus so let's continue on this manipulation to rewrite it in even a nicer form. Which is called conservative form. The conservative form which means that I'm going to rewrite it Vt alpha u v. I hope I'm correct. Vt plus alpha u v. Right, yeah. Same equation. And ut plus something different, again, differentiation with respect to x. And here it should be so what does this remind you? Have you seen such a system of this type before? So it's a system in the form capital UT plus F of U. It's not the same. Little f of U. Or equivalently, you can also write it UT plus A of U, UX equals 0. What is big U? Big U is this vector UV. So this is a system. These systems look like systems for compressible flows in one dimension. And to convince us that it is exactly in this form, well, it's easy to, by introducing UV in this, the big vector U, two-dimensional vector of x and t. To see that the vector U satisfies an equation of this type. So this is a conservation law, which can be written in the form like this, where the matrix A, what is A? Well, A is a matrix. Matrix that have the form alpha U, 1 over alpha, alpha V, and what is important is this system is called hyperbolic. The system is hyperbolic. Let's continue on. The hyperbolic system. The nonlinear hyperbolic system. So it means that it enters into the family of equation of this form, of conservation form. Sometimes it's called divergence form. With the property, so to have this property hyperbolic, hyperbolic refers to the property that A of U, the matrix A of U, has two distinct real eigenvalues. Okay. And then let's check that immediately. Well, if you calculate the eigenvalues of A of U, well, you have to calculate alpha U minus lambda alpha U minus lambda square minus V. Right? This is the determinant. It tells, so lambda must be equal, well, the solution of this equals 0 are lambda equals alpha U plus or minus square root of V. Now what is V? V measures the elevation. Right? So V is always positive. I mean, at least as long as all these equations are well posed and mean something, V is positive. Okay. So it's very important to notice that V is positive. So this matrix has two distinct real eigenvalues. As a consequence, the resulting system, the shallow water systems, enters into this big family of nonlinear hyperbolic systems where a lot of mathematics and analysis has been devoted. So what is the moral of all this chapter? Is that we started with the water wave problem up there, which is a difficult set of equations in the sense that you have nonlinear. You have two equations on the boundary, on a free boundary, on an own boundary. You have two nonlinear equations that are very hard to deal with. And people have tried to simplify this problem. So one way to simplify, or one way to look at it, is to say that if you're interested in shallow water problems. You may approximate this original problem by a simpler one. The simpler one is the one written here or here, it's the same thing, which is where there are no free boundary. You just here describe the evolution in terms of the position and time of the two variables. One, h or v, the same, measures the elevation, and f or fx or f and fx measure the velocity potential or the velocity at lowest order. At lowest order in the expansion. So you have replaced a free boundary value problem by a much simpler one, which is already not that simple because the theory of hyperbolic system is quite complex. And what, so this is quite the classic, yes? So the initial condition, so like for the water wave problem, you will give initially the initial interface, so the initial eta zero, if you want, in term translated into the, and the initial velocity, u zero, or initial potential up to a constant. And one of the mathematical problems of importance is to see how well this approximation, how this system approximates well the original problem. So the validity of this approximation. So it was done in one of the famous paper is a paper by Kano, 1979. And there was also the expansion by Friedrich. Well, essentially, Kano Nishida put a rigorous framework to the Friedrich's expansion in terms of the shallow water. Okay? So we have. So again, we have replaced the original problem by another one, simpler, that got rid of the free boundary value problem. And one of the questions is, of course, the validity of the approximation. Okay? So I think for today we will stop here. And next week we will use this formula, this expansion, to perform the same kind of analysis, but in the asymptotics where not only delta is small, but alpha and delta are small with the special relation that alpha equals delta square. Okay? And this is called the KDV or the Boussinesq scaling. Right? Yes?
One question related to the last thing that you said. Can you just tell us what approximately the result for Kano Nishida is, meaning what is the approximation? Because I guess because of the special structure of these equations that you get a maybe better approximation than one would just guess by linearizing. Maybe that you get a long time validity or something like that. Because I don't know how to do it.
So you don't want, first of all, you don't want to just to do the linearized version of it, because even if you start with small initial condition where linearization could be justified, if you wait for sufficient long time, or if you are interested in sufficiently long scale geometry, then your linearized, your non-linear term accumulate, and you will not be able to. So what they proved, well, they proved a very a rigorous result, saying that let us start with an initial condition on the water wave problem. They had to prove during the time that it exists, which is a finite time, they had an estimate on the difference between U or V and the solution of the linearized problem. So they want, essentially, you, they had an estimate on a certain interval of time where both solution, where both system exist, of if you want, let me take eta original minus eta shallow water. And they prove this is small enough in the limit delta equal, tends to zero. So if you want, I can show you the exact formulation. I have it somewhere. But it is it's a very, I mean, very difficult result. It's not straightforward. Not at all. It requires a lot of analysis on both systems. But it has been done. It's nice, very nice work. It uses, in particular, you know, the Cauchy-Kovalevska theorem for.